Dieter and Hutch, I'm at Levi's Stadium. Jake is in parts unknown. I presume in actually the city of San Francisco, unlike all these signs that I see here that say San Francisco. I'm in Santa Clara. And the 49ers are 3-0. And damn it, those Duke boys pulled out another one, didn't they?
That I described it.
Yeah,
I described it. What? I've got a column for SF Gate coming out, and my description is that it's like World War One football is what we watched today. Just trench warfare, literally guys snapping, like truly horrific injuries.
I turn to Nick. God,
I feel so bad for James Conner.
I feel really bad. I did not do this to him. If I had that power, I wouldn't be using it here. I literally turned to Nick Wagner in the second quarter, and I go, this is like watching football in the 40s. So we were about two decades off there.
6-3. Christian McCaffrey had -1 yards rushing, I think, after four drives. Just.
And yet it felt good. It felt good. Should we just do some studs and duds?
Let's do it.
Can we start with the stud of all studs today? And we go are, of it. Course, talking about one Richard Pearsall. I presume his legal name is Richard.
I call him Slick Richard.
As well you should. Slick Rick was out there given these Cardinals the business. Now, is that much of a shock if you've been following this team, if you've been following this channel, if you understand how the Cardinals play defense? No, this was a pretty ripe situation for him. At the same time, it was Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey getting 70% of the targets in this game. 70. They got 70% of the targets. They got 26 out of, what, 31? Yeah.
So yeah, insane numbers. Yeah.
Absolutely insane. They were, and Mac Jones's interception was just force feeding Christian Ricky
Pearsall just staring.
They've
down.
Amalgamated into an exciting white. It's an exciting white 20, blend.
26 of 38 passing targets, and then 17. I like that this was the game that they went, no, Brian Robinson, you don't get to touch the ball unless McCaffrey calls out of the game.
Ironically, his two best runs of the season came in.
Two best runs of the game were of the season, where one was just like a meatball run, but he didn't go down easily, and the other was like a great run, probably the best blocked run of the day.
Unquestionably, a legitimately good play that will be totally forgotten come Monday, come 40 minutes from now. Let me just run through real quick. We'll talk more about Ricky Pearsall. We'll do this. I just want to relay what happened so that we can all contextualize the bullshit that was on the field today. First off, and I'm not angry. I'm really happy that they won, because now it feels like we got something here. Like, let's be clear. Like, there had been a lot of, you know, underlying data that you're like, I don't know. I don't know about this one, Jim. And this one is so ugly, so messy, so disgusting. For them to have won this game, you just have to be like, oh, they're Garbage Pail Kids. Like, this is what they're about. Like, this is their identity. They're nasty Garbage Pail football players.
You know how people like to talk about the Chiefs, and they're like, they take you into deep waters, they take you out to sea.
Yeah.
The Niners are taking themselves out to deep waters, but
drowning
they're
in a mucky swamp that's shallow.
But then they're doing the Gattaca thing where it's like, it's like, how do you do it? How are you doing it? You don't have the right, you know, makeup. Yeah. And it's like, I just got more heart. I just want it more.
Just want it more. These boys are quote built different. So just a quick reminder, it was 13-13, middle of the fourth quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
We're all wondering if we've made terrible life decisions by letting this game enter our eyeballs or ear. You know, Guy Haberman on the call might have ventured your ears as well. The 49ers, it's 13-13. Arizona ties the game on the McBride touchdown, which was a nice play. You got to tip your hat.
Yeah.
McBride's a hell of a tight end.
He's fucking sick.
Niners get the ball with 8:37. They get two first downs, that nice Brian Robinson run you mentioned, and then Mac Jones just says, fuck it, and throws it right into quadruple coverage.
Like, they're starting. It's funny because like in the second part of that third quarter, they're like, all right, we're just feeding Ricky. We're feeding Christian McCaffrey.
We know what we're about here. Yeah.
We're starting to cook. And then Mac went, all right, I'm going to throw it to him. And you literally go, you could watch his helmet stripe. I don't think the Niners actually have a helmet stripe, do they?
They always do, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could watch his helmet stripe just go straight at Pearsall, and it was such an easy read. It was unbelievable. And then I think they force the punt. They get down at the six.
They get the three and out, which was really impressive, right? They fuck up Greg Dortch. They stop Kyler twice. I mean, Kyler, we'll get into him later. He's a dud. He's so fucking annoying.
I hate watching him play quarterback.
Great punt to the six. Now, we can argue if Sky Moore, who I thought was a stud in this game, because there wasn't a lot to choose from early in this contest, you can argue if he should have let that bounce. I think it's a 50-50 call because he had two gunners breathing on him as he caught that ball. So it's like, do you want to play the bounce game?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, you have 16. Do you want to double down or 17? Do you want to double down? No. That's you know, what do you have in your heart? And Sky Moore has, I'm just going to catch this and move on with my life, in his heart. And that's good for him. First play, incomplete pass to Kendrick Bourne, because that's who you want to be throwing it to. And then Mac Jones sacked in the end zone, though not technically.
Right.
Dominic Pooney getting so worked off the snap by Calais Campbell, Father Time, that he had to hold.
Did you hear Kyle? He's like, yeah, of course it was Calais Campbell. Yeah,
fucking Campbell, one of the great football players.
Because you know, Kyle probably wanted him, and Calais Campbell's like, I'm not coming to San Francisco.
Well, to be fair, Calais Campbell, like, lives in it from it, like, he wanted to go back to Arizona. I get it, and he's a perfect four eye technique for that.
He's doing the Madison Bumgarner, except not being washed.
I felt bad for Pooney. He actually had, I thought, a really good game, but he had the worst play of the game in that situation. I thought Pooney was he had a bunch of pancake blocks. You don't say that often in the NFL. I thought he was really good, and then just absolute boner of a play. And I mean, watching Mac run for his life in that situation I did not do the Kyler Murray voice. Let's put it that way. It would have been like playing a record backwards instead, which I can't replicate.
Yeah.
So they've now given up a safety. They're down two, and they're giving Arizona the ball with 3:26 to go.
Yeah.
And Arizona is moving the ball a little bit here.
Kyler scrambles, and not only does he scramble, he slides before a lot of replay assist with that, where you're like, oh, that was a first down, and then it would be 1 yard left that like didn't happen in previous years, where it's like it's actually good for Arizona that he's short, because then they get it, and that's another great play for the clock.
Yeah, and it was they get the ball. I mean, a hell of a defensive play by Upton Stout, who was barbecue chicken most of the game, makes a hell of a play, unquestionably, and this is what I'm talking about with that kid's tenacity and gumption and just stick to it. Like, he was out there roasted the entire contest. And then when the play had to be made, it wasn't particularly made at an elite level because he gave up a lot of space. He got burned, but then he recovered and he makes a play. They get the ball back. And you're like, what are we going to do here with Mac Jones?
Yeah. I was upset. The only thing I was upset about is that the 49ers didn't have the matching safety on the other end. Cause I was like, bet on overtime. Mm-hmm. And no,
they almost did. Though, to be fair, that was the right call. I know everyone's upset. You know, you go on Twitter and it's like, that was a safety. It's like, yeah, in college. It
was, but like, that's not the rule. Like, his arm was so clearly not in the end zone.
And he was extending it out. I don't know if he was conscious, but like, that ball
was out. It wasn't like close. It was like,
it was close. I mean, it was close,
but
99 and 7.
But it wasn't debatable whether his arm was like in or out of the end zone. Like, it was clearly out. And if that's the rule, that's the rule. But
then Mac Jones is out there just slinging that thing. And I'm starting to wonder.
Slanging by ripping dinks and dunks, but nice dinks and dunks.
Listen, the other quarterback had nothing but dinks and dunks. So we're going to call that, in the context of this environment, that was slanging that thing. And I got to tell you, the best offensive drive that they had all day before that, I would argue, was the one that got them down to the 1 yard line that they failed. Sorry, I keep pointing at a field that y'all can't see. Left to right on your radio dial. And so that was their best drive. They did some hurry up during that.
Yeah. Like,
you predicted it off the jump. Like, hey, this is going to be a slog. It's going to look ugly. The offense isn't going to go. And I think Kyle felt the same thing. And he's like, let's just speed this thing up. Nothing crazy. Yep. We'll still do substitutions and stuff. But like, how about a little bit more tempo? How about a little bit more pace? And when he did that, Mac was better. I think that Mac shouldn't be allowed to rest. I think that that's what gets in his way. Now, I don't know if we'll see Mac Jones again, because apparently he re-aggravated his PCL injury and he was wearing a knee brace. And He's going out in a blaze of glory.
Frankly. It's awesome for a guy who already looks like he's in physical pain when he moves to like be in real physical pain. And he was like doing the, he was literally like doing like a stanky leg in the huddle. Also, Kyle, call a timeout, buddy. And I know they ended up needing the timeouts, which is what he'll always argue you don't want. But like when the clock's ticking down, your quarterback's limping and doesn't seem able to move, and then you rush into a fourth and goal.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable time to say, all right, whatever happens, we're just going to burn the timeout.
So Kyle's explanation of that play, and it was bad. It was bad. And I don't like the play call because you, of course they're blitzing. Like, I don't like the play call. They know exactly what's coming. You have one player who's useful in that situation.
Unless this is, by the way, for anyone who forgets, it's the play where Christian McCaffrey got speared into oblivion, as hit as hard as I've seen him be hit in a long time.
It was a right zone run, and let's just say that Arizona knew it was coming, and they have incredible blitzers from the second level, and I'm amazed that Christian McCaffrey can still walk after that game. But Kyle's explanation was that he wanted to take a timeout, but he also thought that because of the play that they had just run, that they would have the play. And then also his argument was he wanted to use the one that they used on the juice touchdown, again pointing at a field you can't see, on the juice touchdown, but he didn't want to call that play because it would be a bootleg and Mac was clearly injured and you probably don't want to boot him out.
Yeah, at that point.
So this is a great point by Nevin. Like, the most conservative coach in the league is just like, how about this? How about we do this by the seat of our pants?
Who just, you know, at the end of the first half, the most predictable thing of all time, just like literally Mark Sanchez on the broadcast before the drive starts, they're going for a field goal here. They've got three timeouts. They've got like 2.5 minutes to work with. And they're like, yeah, just going to end it with a field goal here. That's the goal.
Yeah. Well, the final four, or was it?
And it was a game where it's like, I sort of get that more than, but at least he's consistent, you know?
I mean, this was some SEC football in the rain, man. This was a tough watch. We got to be clear about that. But I it's so interesting that like the best offensive series that they had was that hurry up. And then Matt comes out here and for the second time in two games, runs a hurry up, gets them in field goal range, like with room to spare. By the way, Pinheiro's leg, he kicked that 51 yarder. I mean, that thing was like halfway up the net.
The way they keep talking about his leg is like he's a child. Like they're like, listen, he can kick it really straight, but his leg's basically made out of butter. And so he can't really torque that thing. It's a little loose.
He's up there with a five iron. You all got your new drivers. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but he's going to put it in the fairway.
Good Lord, does it go straight. He did have the one like sort of shaky one, but
I think that they have to say that. Because we're all seeing that Eddie Pinheiro has a leg that is equal and or better than the previous kickers.
It's his Moody had a better leg, but it was it doesn't matter if the ball's curving every single time.
You put it in the fairway.
Did you see Pinheiro, by the way, when he had to do the because it's no longer the punt after the safety, it's a kickoff.
Yeah, right.
And he was like torquing his leg. He's like, I don't know if I have enough to get it there. And
it's a long way.
Like, I don't know if he's gonna make it. And he cleared it. It was fine. But he was like, this is gonna be tough.
What a fun mess of a game. That game would have only been better if there was like some sort of a free kick situation or an untimed down. It went to overtime. It was awesome.
I'm a little upset.
A 1-point safety.
I'm a little upset because I had like 5 predictions and one was basically the offense gets stuck in gear for about half the game. Run game's iffy. Kendrick Bourne gets like a key first down snap and Pearsall has some chunk plays to get him out of it. Exactly what happened.
Nailed it.
And then one of the other predictions was Mykael Williams' first career sack on a scramble cleanup that would have gone for like 15 otherwise. It would have been the safety, but he didn't get a
I don't think it doesn't register as a sack.
It should be. It should be.
Grounding should absolutely be considered a sack. Though that has to be a subjective play. I don't want to get we're wasting our time with this because this is now Dieter pontificating about NFL scorekeeping.
If it was a safety, I think it would have counted. No? Probably not. I guess if it's grounding, it's
that's a great question. I wish I had like a referee on. Can we just get Pereira on the phone? go ask Josh DeBoe of the AP. He'd know. Okay. Stud, Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
I think he leads the NFL in receiving.
Today?
I think overall.
Does he really? There's no way that's true.
Something like that. He has many yards and many catches, and he's awesome.
He's not leading the league in receiving.
Who's leading the league in receiving?
No, it's
a gentleman's Chase from Cincinnati. I hear he has promise.
It's Malik Nabers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no, this is through two games. Sorry. Websites aren't updated.
No. Don't ask Google Gemini who leads the NFL in receiving. He's wide receiver one. And I thought it was even more interesting how he had such a big game and how that trust developed so quickly. Like, it's easy to trust a really good football player, right? Like, you should trust those guys. But he had such – Mac in the last game had such faith in Juwan Jennings, and deservedly so, in that
– Pearsall's third, by the way, 281 yards.
Okay. And that might be over by, Monday Night Football or whatever. But the boy's up there. The boy's having a year. The boy's having his breakout. This is a moment for one Richard Pearsall. And Mac was throwing a lot of anticipatory stuff to Jennings, a lot of stuff before he comes out of the break, because that's kind of the only way to get him the ball. It was so impressive to see him and Mac kind of get something going. And when that started happening, they started moving the ball. I mean, it is a one for one.
Yeah. I did. What I did notice is, like, the ball's coming out a half Ooh. Second late every Ooh. Single time. Like, Brutal. The anticipation that, like, we've almost taken for granted with Purdy, it's a half a second late, and the ball's, it's not coming out with much zip. And that's not to say Purdy's ripping the ball. He's not. Like, that's a problem with him. But there is, I don't know, sometimes Mac
tighter, like, motion
can rip it, but, like, sometimes that ball's real fluttery and it's late, so it looks even later.
He's a backup quarterback. His Madden ratings aren't as high. Like, it's not going to look as good. But if you give him, if things are working in his favor, he can take it, he can operate this thing at a high level. And that ball that he had on, what was it? Kyle gave me the name. It was.
I had it written down. It's Trips Right Three Jet Florida.
Florida, yeah. Which is a very fancy way of saying bootleg. One guy goes, three guys slant. it was a beauty. That was an absolute beauty of a throw. Dropped it right in there, and Pearsall made a nice turn to get there in time. Like, that was just good shit. Of all the nasty stuff that we saw today, there were some moments with Ricky where you're like, that's good shit right there. That's an A-plus stuff. Other studs, who you got?
Let's see. Obviously, Mykal Williams again, who just, without Nick Bosa, just, like, held that line together and was just, had some, like, the run stops. It's fun. It's just funny for, like, Pearsall and Williams to be guys that just got, like, shit on for no real reason. Like,
no, it's because they don't like me. It's because everyone likes Jake, but no one likes me. So they're like, oh, Dieter really likes Mykal and Pearsall. I'm not trying to make this an ego thing. I legitimately think it's because I'm too loud. And people are
I think that might be right. It might be right. But, like,
I don't like him, so I don't like them.
He was outstanding. And, like, he did have a few pressures too. Like, again, it's tough because the way he's pressuring, it's just going straight. So it's tough for him to, like, finish them sometimes.
Imagine if he could go left or right.
That'd imagine. But, like, he's crucial. And he's fantastic.
I've said it once. I'll just keep saying it because it's all we talked about for a calendar year that this team couldn't stop the run. And here's a 20-year-old rookie out of Georgia. And he's like, I got it. I'll stop the run.
They're just playing him at, like, three tech, and he's, like, as good of a run defender holding up against double team. He split one from three tech today. Just
so fucking good.
Like, he's, what are so you talking about?
He's a sicko football fan's favorite player. Right? This is the same feeling that we had.
Yeah, Nate Tice, every time he does something, he's like, oh my God. He's as much of a fan.
Me and Nate came to Mykal separately, certainly, right? Like, we're not operating in the same circles these days. But, like, I don't talk to anybody, like, sorry, I'm trying to not shit on people.
That's good policy.
Well, it doesn't work out most of the time. I don't know anyone who's in the league or people whose opinions that I trust. And this isn't to say that people who don't like Mykal, I don't trust their opinions on other stuff, but, like, the people who I would go to for sage football advice, they were all like, oh, Mykal Williams, right? And I'm like, yeah. And like, that was almost like the password to get in the door.
Right.
Like, I made sources off of, you're the Mikal Williams guy, right? Like, Mikal Williams is sick. These people don't know what they're talking about. So y'all were in on it. Y'all can infer whatever way you want. It's a free country. And I just don't know what more you need to see than this guy is a transformational defensive end. And it's dirty work.
I just can't not highlight him. But it's awesome. And somebody asked basically where they would have been in the game if they didn't have him. And Kyle's like, that's a hypothetical.
don't make me think about that.
But holy shit. Like, they would, I mean, I can't fathom like Sam Okwuanu and Yetur Gross-Matos. Like, if Mikal had gone out with that wrist, like, they're in trouble. Like,
didn't have him for a stretch, and they got run on. They got run on repeatedly. Yeah. I mean, Cardinals were like, hell yeah, this is our moment. Like, we can finally move the fucking ball. No Bosa, no Mikal. Guess what? We're going to go. We're going.
I'll also say, Griffin mentions Collins had some nice reps too. I'm seeing him just be more consistent. I'm just seeing him getting washed out a lot less.
It's still happening, but
it's still happening, but like, Kalia Davis is like an interesting case. It's neither like a stud nor a dud, right? Because he has some of the best reps you ever see, because he's
unbelievable.
It's the DJ Jones rep. Like, and I know he was compared coming out of the draft to DJ Jones, but it really is like split second in the backfield immediately sort of rep. Yeah, and totally then there's a couple plays later where you see him getting washed out 7 yards away from the play, and you're like, where did that run come from? Oh, there's Kalia Davis not involved in the play. And so it's really hit or miss.
He's a relief pitcher. You get him in there for one inning. Sometimes he gives up the home run. Sometimes he gets you 3 strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to throw up a junk baller. You need to have that pop, and you try to clean up the nasty.
Can I give absolutely. You a dud? Let's Please. Give you a dud.
Later.
Luke Farrell.
What is it you would say you do here, Luke Farrell?
They listen. I'm not sure I bought into the Kool-Aid, because I'm not sure I saw it, but I talked to their tight ends coach.
Yeah.
And Brian Fleury, and who's a very sharp dude, and he was like sort of selling me on the pitch of like, there's more upside to him than I think people give credit for. And I was like, all right, I'll take your word for it. We'll see.
Yeah.
But he's being brought in as a blocking tight end, and this is the moment, right? Like, George Kittle's out. Show your stuff. Mm-hmm. He's missing assignments every game, like pretty blatantly. Totally. And one, Jake Brendel also missed an assignment, which doesn't negate it. You both botched it.
Right.
But like, come on. Come on, like, this is what you were brought in here. They paid you a lot for that specific role, and he's not really doing it.
You're just helping Jed York make the argument that this team shouldn't spend money anymore. Like, you went from Hargrave and all these other guys you spent money on. It didn't work out all that well, and now I give you $9 million. I give you this pittance, and it's still not enough to get a good player. Like, you never getting another cent from me. You'll work with what you have. Make some trades.
I would love for it to be better. And not to say like he can't turn it around. Seasons of ebbs and flows, but he's been bad so far.
Yeah, I don't think we're fully in the Saubert zone, but it did seem as if Kyle went to more 21 personnel instead of the 12. And he definitely trusts Tonjes more, even though Tonjes is an average blocker on his best day. But there was a lot of juice. Like, there was in the first half, you're like, is Juice playing? Was he like a... Is he like a decoy?
I don't know. I don't remember seeing him on the field.
He was on the field on the first drive, and then he disappeared for several drives. And then in the second half, they came out, and they're like, we can't keep living with Luke Farrell. So
I will say there's something to Tonjes that it's just like, listen, like, it's like Dwelly, where it can't really block, but he's got a little bit more grit than Dwelly ever had, and he's more athletic. Mm. So it's sort of that, like, big receiving tight end guy. He's just, I think, more athletic than Dwelly ever was, and has a little – nastiness to him to make up for the fact that he can't really do the job, but he's trying. And as a fullback, he's got a little something.
He does. It's nice to have that guy who can back up, because I don't want Farrell in space. He's slow. He's slow as hell. Okay, we got to say that Renardo Green had a bad game. He was a dud.
Yeah, that was my worst prediction. I thought he was going to have a bounce back game. That one rep was really, 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 really bad in the end zone, where...
Oh, it wasn't even his guy who was catching the ball.
Yeah,
he committed pass interference on a pass that wasn't to him. It was sort of him, but yeah, that was.
I think he
had a couple of bad plays where he got caught out of phase, and there was some tough stuff.
There was that, and there was like, I couldn't tell a lot of the times, because you can't tell on the TV copy who blew an assignment. There were quite a few, especially with Marvin Harrison Jr., where it was either Green or it was Stout or Pinnock, where that trio was having some issues in this game.
We're gonna get the all 22 tomorrow morning, and it's going to be really interesting. We spend a lot, you know, you spend a lot of time, particularly because you give out the grades, which you should all be subscribed to, because it's way better than Pro Football Focus if you care about the 49ers. And you'll be focusing on the lines again, but like, I'm really interested to see what is happening there, because I texted you halfway through the game and I'm like, is every receiver on the Cardinals a sacrificial X receiver? You know about the sacrificial X, just like run down, clear out routes, just run down there and we'll get something underneath. Every player on the card, they're basically running the Dieter, I don't know how to play this game, Madden or NCAA offense with a good quarterback. The Mike Vick offense might be the better way to explain it, which is everyone go deep. If it's zone, that works. If it's man, even better. And I'm just going to go around the corner. So
I hate their offense.
I can't fucking stand it. I can't fucking okay, let's just go. Let's do my galaxy brain thing. I got a trade. Here's the trade that if I'm the commissioner for a day, there's a lot of things that I'd like
Peter to do. Peter texted me this in the middle of the game. He's like, you know, you love it.
that's a little bit of a coping mechanism for me, because I know that this is going to make people audibly groan. My initial take was they should trade Trevor Lawrence for Kyler Murray straight up. You take our problem, we'll take your problem. It's an Andrew Wiggins trade. And one team will be successful and one team will fail even harder, but they already suck, so what's it matter? By the way, we get to see Trevor Lawrence next week. Then, about three quarters of the way through the game, I said, Marvin Harrison and Trevor Lawrence for Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. Brian Thomas and Trevor Lawrence for Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray. And I guess you'd have to move those receivers somewhere else for another receiver, because clearly that's part of the problem. But oh my God, like, I don't know if Harrison's good or not. We're never going to find out in this.
It's so strange. I don't know what's going on.
It's Kyler sucks. He sucks. He can't throw. And when he throws the ball downfield, he needs to have these massive windows. It's brutal to watch. It's brutal to watch in person. I cannot stress this enough. If you're considering spending money on going to an NFL game, do not have Kyler Murray involved, because this is not high-level performance. This is a Tua offense that, instead of 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, it's 1 yard past the line of scrimmage. They stole the Dolphins' offense. Not a compliment. Derogatory. Oh, my God. If they would have won this game, I would have had some deep questions about the state of football in 2025.
I mean, it's just such a fucking brutal watch, man. Like, it's like, hey, we have a few reads. Oh, you're not going to do that. Then you're going to scramble around and chuck it up every play.
He doesn't have an arm. I don't know what happened. He used to have a cannon. I mean, it looked funny.
He still does occasionally, but like, it's not what it was.
So here's funny. This is a good, actual good Goat Lord comes in. Shout out to the Goat Lord. All hail the Goat Lord.
I was just thinking about that. I was just looking up his contract.
Well, they might, because this is not reporting. This is loose vibes at best. But I was, you know, I talk. I'm a talker. I'm a loud man.
Oh, are you?
I share them. No one would piece me for that. I've apparently passed down that trait to my 3-year-old.
Yeah.
What's up?
So he has the same situation that Brock does, where they're rolling guarantees. So $36.8 million of his 2026 salary is already guaranteed.
Oh, well played. Well
and
played.
And then in the next March is
I'd trade
2027.
I'd trade him. Someone would take him. And here's the deal. I'm just trashing him. I'm just trashing him in the press box. It's not a lot, but it is, you know, typical snide bullshit comments. I said many times, if I see another goddamn throw to the flat, I'm going to gouge my eyes out. And halftime comes around, we all get up to go use the bathroom and get a water, and who's behind me but the owner of the Cardinals.
Cheapest owner in football?
Yeah, well, heaven forbid he pays for the luxury suite, which I'm currently in. And I notice hasn't been used. That's why I knew to come to this one. I'm not taking anything out of the fridge, because I know that he'll see the bill and he will prosecute. Bidwell's behind us and he's just listening to me shit all over his quarterback the entire time. And then I realized the guy who was groaning was him. So
that's
there
tough.
You go. There you go. There you go, Jim.
And it's like he did, right, as mentioned, like he did make some plays, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. was just, that one drop is like, if you were like a rotation wide receiver, if you're Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you're cut. That is a Marquez Valdes-Scantling play.
He Ronnie Belled the play. It was unbelievable.
That's one of the worst drops I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, we joke, Tony. Here's the thing. The rest of the Cardinals roster is badass. They didn't have Paris Campbell. They didn't have Will
Johnson.
They didn't. Paris Johnson. Sorry.
Paris Johnson or Campbell. Will Johnson.
Or Will Johnson. Or their left guard, Will something or other, who's, you know, a solid pro. They didn't have those guys. It wasn't noticeable. Now, it helps that the Niners didn't have Nick Bosa, but like not having the big man 70 out there is like a big deal.
Beecham had like two false starts and just didn't look great.
It was a tough scene. But I look at their defense and I'm like, it's so close. It's so close. And it might even be there.
Yeah. And Walter Nolan coming back. And when Will Johnson comes back, like, it's funny. Cause that's the thing about Pearsall. It's like Jalen Thompson is more of a safety than like a slot guy, but he's a good player. He's a good player. And Pearsall was working him one-on-one.
And it's a lot of zone. I'm interested to again watch.
But in the replays I saw where it was man, he was winning.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not to take anything away from the Niners. Like, it's just to say that holy shit, the Cardinals, like,
they're 3-0. They're 3-0 with two games of Mac Jones.
It's unbelievable.
Games it doesn't matter what any of the context is. They're 3-0 leading the division with Mac Jones as their quarterback, who's like on a bum knee without George Kittle, right?
It's
without Brock Purdy.
Like I people just say that. Like I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. It's not because I don't want to. It's because I cannot.
I did think this was going to be a really stupid loss, right? Where like totally. At the end where you're
thought they were going to lose on a safety, on a hold in the end zone. It seemed inevitable that they were going to lose on that play. Dude, that game was stupid, and they won it. And
they're great at winning stupid games, which is like what actually matters.
It's the most important trait to have in the NFL. Now, I'm not sure I'm ready to go and run and put down a Niner Super Bowl bet, but let's also add in this. This might be the worst that they're ever going to be. The Bosa thing means large.
That's basically what I was writing is like Bosa will go a long way into like determining what the ceiling is. If he can come back, because to me, the way he was working out, again, this is not reporting anything at all. Like this is just how it looked. It didn't look like it was like an ACL tear and they tested on the sidelines. The vibe was not that it was like he's cooked. Because he wasn't down. He didn't need to get carted off.
Give a thumbs down, though.
He gave a thumbs down.
That might mean for just today. Who's to say? Sorry, y'all came from Florida.
But it wasn't. He's like, he was also like, I don't know. Not great.
He was moving around. He was doing high steps.
That's what
stuff
I mean.
To me,
it felt very like meniscus Terry. Like that's pure speculation, which is a bad thing to do with injuries.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If I had to guess right now, I'd say a month or two and not a year, right?
Right.
Like it feels way close.
You never know because like I almost called Jordan Watkins Ronnie Bell. That was fucked up. That's not right. But like him, they were like, oh, he's got a little thing. His ankle's hurting a little bit. And then he's got a high ankle sprain, missed a month. Right?
Yeah,
so you never know.
And they'll do an MRI and they'll say like, it might be a situation where it's like, oh, there's just a bunch of stuff floating in there. So you hope for them. Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, Fred Warner has said this a couple of times. I think he finally put it on the record, but he said a couple of times to me, like, injury rate in the NFL is 100%. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Right.
And I guess there's certainly differentiating levels to, you know, injuries. Like we saw the worst one today. I guess, you know, a guy did die on the field a couple of years ago and get revived. So that's probably worse. But there was a real visceral reaction to seeing James Conner's leg explode. So that wasn't fun.
Yeah.
You hope for the best for Bosa because you want to see great players perform. And this is a season where a great player of his, you know, a player of his caliber isn't playing in vain. You know,
he's playing like in an outrageous level right now.
He's unreal. He's unreal. They won this game without him, and they won this game without Juwan Jennings, and they won this game without George Kittle, and they won this game without their starting quarterback, and they won this game without Brandon Ayuk, who we can't forget about as a factor. Like, he's still $30 million on the salary cap and their number one receiver. And they won this game without with all the stupid shit that also, they did.
Yeah, not even mentioning DeMarcus Robinson. It's like
right, not there. He's but he'll be, we'll see him on Sunday. A lot.
Because what is it Sunday? Oh yeah, it is Sunday. It's three games.
What did you think about Kendrick Bourne in this game?
I thought Kendrick Bourne did a great job. I thought he looked like he knew the system more. I don't think he was lighting up the world, but like I thought he did the job of like what he used to do before Juwan was even involved, which is like make a couple like key catches to just take some of the strain off of the other wide receiver.
He had he had a bad block on that stretch play to the outside.
Yeah, he's chaotic. He's not what he once was, but like he was there and he made a key catch.
Did you see on his first catch, which was like his only catch until very late in the game?
I think he had two tight ones. Yeah.
And then he had one that was low. That wasn't a good throw, but you'd like to see him pull it in. Correct. I mean, that's just a question of caliber of player, which, you know, no one's holding up Kendrick Bourne as some elite guy. He was on the waiver. Or he was free for a reason. Regardless, did you see on his first catch when he's like up there and he's just like, feed me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't do that. No, please. Like, don't do that. Okay, just we got to get in here. So, we pay Deion in cash. Per Kyle in the presser, it wasn't an ACL. He did say that. And then later on, as Nevin said, ACL was not ruled out, and the absence of positive isn't a negative, which, by the way, might as well be the slogan of our show. And so ACL was, in fact, not ruled out. So Ann Killian did a good job, and who does, and asked Kyle, like, so you're saying that ACL's not an ACL injury? And he goes, well, we don't actually know.
He's like, well, they said it's not definite. It's we couldn't tell that it was
right. Basically, so the trainers have a couple of stretches and like movement things that they do in that tent. And one of them is like, if your ACL is torn, you're going to know the second you do that one.
Right.
But that came up negative, but that doesn't mean he didn't tear his ACL. I actually am a little bit confused as to which knee it was.
I thought it was the right, because
I thought it was the right too. And then you watch the play and it looks like his left knee buckles. And it's like, well, I know my difference between left and right, so I have no idea.
So on the replay, when he was on the sidelines, he was pointing to the right knee, I think.
Totally, 100%. Okay, good. Goat Lord, leading us into the next thing. Thoughts on Connor Colby in this game? Not great.
Again, I'm going to hold off on making any judgments of O-line until I really watch it. Because O-line, you notice the bad and like occasionally see the good.
Are we calling this the Alfred Collins role, even though he's a D lineman?
Yeah, I just think the trenches, like, some you just miss some stuff until you're like watching more closely.
I saw a good deal of bad. I did see some pop. Like, I bet it will grade out average to a little bit below if I had to guess right now.
Yep.
But he was clearly the weak link on the line, and I thought Brendel, a lot of his mistakes, from what I could tell, were trying to clean up for Colby. Right. And now a guy who can barely do his own job is having to do two, and me as a parent can attest that never goes well. So and that's why I thought Pooney actually had a really good game. When you watch it, you're like, man, Pooney's just cleaning up. And then he makes the worst play of the game. And I thought Trent actually kind of slid back a little bit in this one. And McKivitz was kind of a steady Eddie as per usual. So
Rohan asked a good question. What's up with our run game struggling? So this is also a message I sent to Dieter, is that like one critique I have of Kyle's run game is that it has the most like drive damning negative runs. There's always like a couple like a drives sack. A game.
Yeah.
Because there's a level of precision where if everyone does their job and everyone hits their mark and it's the right look, you're going to have a giant chunk play. Mm-hmm. But there is a calculation of like, okay, well, if two people miss their mark or two people do an okay job, is this suddenly a negative play? And if the answer is yes, might have to like reconsider how often you run that play. And that said, like a lot of guys ailing, you don't have a strong blocking tight end group.
No.
You don't have Juwan Jennings, who's a crucial blocker for the wide receiver room. Like Pearsall's okay, but he's not great as a blocker by any stretch.
Right. He's passable. He can play for Kyle Shanahan, but no more.
Exactly. And then you've got three out of five guys on your offensive line that have injuries. So, and you're going against a pretty tough front with the Cardinals that's playing pretty physical. So there's like a lot of tough things.
I mean, I think it's a schematic issue. And I think next week it stops. Like, I don't disagree with anything you just laid out, but I think it's the tight front. I think it's the 404. And okay, against Seattle, it wasn't great. Well, Seattle's defense might be the best in the NFL, right? And they still move the ball okay. And then New Orleans. Now, New Orleans got their teeth absolutely kicked into their anuses today by, I mean, just all the way through.
I know.
But of course they did. They're a team that has one kind of smoke that hasn't, they can't get layers on it. And Seattle just got to watch the 49ers run a game against them.
By the way, it's like
knowing the answers to the test. Torrey Horton. What did Torrey Horton do?
Receiving touchdown and a punt return touchdown.
Now we're fucking talking.
And I might have to start him over Cooper Kupp. We'll see. We'll see.
Don't even. We will do fantasy corner some other time.
This is later.
This is Dieter and Jake after hours when we talk fantasy football. But
shout out Jordan Mason.
Shout out Jordan Mason. Indeed, I tried to trade for him this week. Shut up, Dieter. So it was two defenses that are fundamentally built. If you have competent personnel, and I think that the Saints had competent and the Cardinals have more than competent personnel to stop outside zone because of the way that you fill gaps, because of the way that defensive linemen handle a gap and a half, it really lets linebackers fly. I'd like to see the Niners actually try it out. I don't think they have the dudes to play 4-0-4 because they don't have a true nose. And I don't know, other than Michael, who can apparently play all the techniques.
It could be Collins in theory. I don't think he's,
Tried Elliott on a five-man
front. But
again, we're talking about like Davis and like West. And like West actually, I thought, had a nice burst. He had a finger injury that kept him out of the end of the game. But
I did see some nice reps from CJ West. And that
he was the first guy in on that should have been safety.
Would be safety. Yeah. He almost got him too.
Almost got him. And that's incredible.
Which is crazy that he was close.
You knew he wasn't. You thought about it for a second. That would have been the play
of
all time.
You're like, no. Ooh, almost.
It's one thing if Alfred Collins is doing it, because you're like, well, Alfred Collins doesn't have the foot speed, but like you might be like deer in a headlights facing.
He's got the longest arms. You know?
Yeah, the size of that man, you might hesitate for a second, and then that's enough. But with West, you're like, this guy's as tall as me, and he's coming, but I don't think that big boy can get here in time. But he's a good player, and they're using a lot of different players. I mean, like Yetur Gross-Matos doesn't work unless you're using him as...
He's also just like just never going to be healthy all year. It seems like he's just going to practice
Bosa told me this. I asked him about Yetur, and he goes, yeah, well, we got to stick with whatever plan it is where like we do whatever we need to do throughout the week to get him healthy for Sunday. And it's like, what a gig. What a fucking gig. This guy doesn't have to practice all week and then gets to show up on Sunday.
It's crazy because like usually if you're like not that great, you don't get to do that.
He's on the Josh McNown plan. Remember Josh McNown was the backup. McCown, yeah. Well, yeah. He was the backup quarterback and he got to live in Texas year round. They fly in for the game.
Oh, yeah, that was sick.
That's the Yetur Gross-Matos right now. But he doesn't work unless you're using him as a rotational guy. And just sort of here's a change up in the arsenal.
It's going to be a real problem with Bosa out.
We have to presume that Bosa's out for at least a game, right? Like,
I would, in my gut, just pure speculation would say like he's out like a month, right?
Yeah,
just based on what it seemed like. But, yeah, I would expect he misses a game. I don't expect he misses a season. But, again, we know nothing. Again, we know nothing.
No, I'm not a doctor.
Talking out of my ass here, to be clear.
where the Saints' teeth are. Fred Warner and D. Winters were studs.
Yeah. Fred actually had a couple misses in this game. But then you're like, he had such dominant plays. He's so fucking good at football.
He's so good at football. And D. Winters,
it's crazy.
Let's be clear here. Like, this is D. Winters. I didn't see this coming. They were talking him up. I liked what I saw when we'd see him play in training camp. But, like, I had a nice understanding of what D. Winters was leading into this season. And I thought, okay, you know, year three, you get the chance. Let's see what you can do. He's playing at I'm not going to say all pro because that's ridiculous. But, like, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level through three games. And each one of his games has been as good as the last. and each one of them have kicked total ass.
He's been outstanding. He's been outstanding. And it's like the perfect compliment to Fred. Griffin on the play where they ran into each other for the interception. How about Kyler just not even being able to see anything and just throwing into like the most, it wasn't even like open for a second.
I hate him so much. I know that Niners fans hate him because, oh, he's the Cardinals and he's beaten us times.
I just hate the way he plays football.
I've made it clear that I'm a fan of football played at the highest level. I want to see elite execution. I want to see cool shit. Fuck me. Well, Brock will be back. But for Kyler Murray is like, I have to think of a better NBA comp. It's like the D'Angelo Russell of.
Ooh, that's good. I was going to say Isaiah Thomas, but like
Isaiah Thomas got hot. Like Thomas had an MVP caliber season for the Celtics at one point. But maybe it will end like it ended for Isaiah Thomas. Are you talking about Isaiah Thomas the Piston or Isaiah Thomas the Celtic?
Isaiah Thomas, the younger one.
Got it. Yeah. Because Zeke.
Yeah, well, no, I would never.
He's one of the great players of all time.
Oh, no, of course. Of course.
And he is clearly not that Kyler Murray.
No.
Yeah,
D'Angelo Russell's a good comp.
I don't know how you can keep living like this if you're the Cardinals. Like, I feel bad for – like, I legitimately felt bad for their fans because I'm like, imagine you're a Cardinals fan, which, first off, like, bad life decision. Like, there's nothing but pain coming your way.
Yeah.
And then you have a front office that's assembled a football team that should absolutely make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the limiting factor is your fucking starting quarterback who you are now – fully indebted to keep around forever. And like the only way forward is to take like three major steps back or like luck into a quarterback.
Yeah, if I was
them, they lucked into him in the first place because it was Josh Rosen and they drafted him the next year.
If I was them, I would trade Kyler and someone's desperate enough. Like the Jets would trade for Kyler.
Somebody's got to get this guy.
I was just like, could you imagine Buda Baker on like, which is not to shit on the Cardinals defense, but could you imagine McDonald like on the Seahawks if they had Buda Baker in that group? Be incredible.
Like,
they've got so many cool pieces.
They have so many cool pieces. I think that they have the coaching, and you can.
Yeah, Gannon's been. I don't know about Petzing, but I their DC and Gannon are great.
I think Petzing's doing a good job. I think that he's working with what he's got the same way
it's
that Mike McDaniel's doing.
It's hard to tell.
But like, is Mike McDaniel coordinating a good offense or does he have a shitty quarterback?
Well, it's tough. It's also tough. It's an impossible task because not only does Mike McDaniel's offense have to like, you know, compensate for the fact that his QB can't read anything, but it also has to compensate for the fact that you cannot allow him to take a hit. So the ball must be out in 2 seconds or less. Like it literally has to be. So it's like, what do you think they're going to do?
This is a legitimately great thought. It will never happen because I think that the Raiders are actually, and I can't believe I'm saying this, competent now. But
moving in the right direction.
If we're playing Madden, right, or Dieter gets to be, you know, gets to do commissioner rules and change rosters. If we just swapped Geno and Kyler, like, I think that the Cardinals might be the team to beat in this division.
I'm with you, Gino. I'm absolutely with you.
And yet they have a guy who's paid way more and they just suck. Like I feel bad for Cardinals fans and that probably makes all you guys feel really good. And you know what? Take it. Take the win.
I'm sure.
What'd you think of Sky Moore today? Because I kind of liked it.
That's exactly how I would describe it. Kind of liked it. Didn't hate it. Didn't look totally lost out there. Did he have one catch? I think
he had one catch.
He looked fine as a returner.
I thought he looked pretty. Listen,
He looked comfortable.
Yeah, he looked like an NFL returner.
And it's funny. He wears a number 9. I keep thinking it's Braden Willis, and I was like, oh, Braden Willis looks quick.
Well, I made that. I told you last week when I'm watching the film, and they had Sky Moore in line. He missed two blocks. And it's like, first off, putting Sky Moore in line, we are in some dire circumstances. And then I'm like, man, Braden Willis still sucks. And then I see Braden Willis come on the field later wearing 82. And I'm like, wait a minute, who was that?
So strange. Also, my God, Isaac Garendo is going to be inactivated at some point.
I thought today was the day. Today wasn't the day. Next week is the week. Like, there's no way that Jordan James isn't the number 2 running back. And isn't, because here's the, I didn't mention.
They might hold it off as long as they can, but.
Why? What's the point? Get him in there. What's the point? Why are you putting Isaac Garendo up? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything for you.
It's tough. It's tough when he looked like he was turning the corner the second half of last year, but I like
it's over. He might, you know, it's Jake Moody over. It might work out somewhere else, but it ain't working out here. They can't unsee what they've seen. It's like cheating on your spouse. You're never really getting over that. You could go to counseling and stuff, but like it's not getting back to where you were. We're not stronger because of this, you know? No. Like that's some bullshit. So it's over. He's an NFL, well, he's a talent of some repute. And there will be teams that will say, hey, we'll give it a shot. And he might be on three or four other teams and maybe one of those hits. But it ain't this one because he doesn't fit this system. And his coaching, the coaching staff sees him every day of the week. And they're like, the less we see of him on game day, the better. We can't turn him down because we don't have enough players. But the less we see of him, the better. I cannot imagine he's active for Sunday. And then I'll throw this out. Okay, yeah. Well, that's fair. My imagination needs to get a little more avant-garde. I need to open my mind. But on the Robinson play, you probably saw this on the game broadcast.
Yep.
On the Robinson play that turned out to be like their best run play of the day, Robinson didn't know where to be. Didn't know the play. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah. The ball just like ended up in his hands and he just started panic running.
I will say this, Kevin. No, because I speak. Because I know a bunch of people who have been in that situation and know it doesn't work that way. So that's where I come from. I can learn from others' mistakes, Kevin. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Plus, should we
who else is having? No one. I'm not hitting the market. You see how bad I look? This is the worst lighting and camera ever. I look like a ghoul. Which is normal, but you know, you're not supposed to see me like this. I didn't put my makeup on.
You're my favorite ghoul. Let's go through some comments. First of all, Rohan, thank you for becoming a member. Appreciate
you. Shout out, Rohan. Do we have any questions from Rohan? We'd like to get the new members up.
I want to go to the Gattaca reference.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nevin. Mac Jones never saved anything for this one back.
Underrated movie, Gattaca.
Gattaca's great. And then, Tony, can we make Brock 3 inches taller with the Gattaca thing? Maybe.
So when I was in Edinburgh this summer, as I am wont to do, because my wife is Scottish, we go to Edinburgh because it's a nice compromise from the other places in Scotland we have to go, and which don't. But there, I'm at a bus stop waiting with my daughter to go to the park, and I notice on the map, because I'm looking for a place to, you know, get a Coke Zero and, you know, try to forget what's happening here because it was a brutal day. And I see on the map there was like a height enhancement clinic.
Oh no!
On the map, and I go into the website and I look it up, and it was the Gattaca thing. That's, it was totally that shit exists. That's real.
It wasn't the thing where they break your shins and then you grow 4 inches taller.
It's exactly that. And they put in like bone implants.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah. There was an entire movie that it was like Pedro Pascal and Dakota Johnson. It was just that. Not a great movie.
Was that the Materialists?
Yeah. It was fine.
Heard they smoked the entire time.
It was fine. Rohan, we're moving on. Rohan, don't forget that Kyler will be even worse in 2 months when the new Call of Duty comes out. Again, the Niners play them 2 days after that. So I thought this was the first loss that I thought the Niners would have, and I really kind of didn't expect. I thought they weren't going to pull it out.
I picked the Niners to lose every game so far, and honestly, don't feel bad about it. Still feel very just. They've won three games that they had. I guess they had a lot of business beating the Saints. Yeah. Like they were the
next week.
Team.
Next week will be interesting. In that it shouldn't be interesting because the Jaguars suck.
The Jaguars won Lawrence. Today.
Yeah, they won. They suck.
They do.
Trevor
suck.
Lawrence is playing slop ball. I hate watching him play almost Three-way more trip. Than you hate Kyler.
If they could get C.J. Stroud onto the Cardinals, look out.
Stroud looks like he's rattled because like he's just fighting for his life every play. I don't know what's going on.
This is what I'm talking about when we talk about offensive line play in the NFL. The Texans' offensive line was god-awful last year, and they're like, okay, we need to make changes. Let's go get the worst offensive linemen from all these other teams and put them on our offensive line. And let's all just trade our – much like I think that the Cardinals and the Jaguars should trade their shitty quarterbacks and their underachieving receivers. Like, that's what 7, 8, 9 teams in the NFL do every year with offensive linemen. So it's awesome. It's super fun. Great. Enjoy Colton McKivitz because, like, I'm telling you right now, it's so much worse on the other side.
He's good. He is good. Let's hit a few more before my camera dies. We get out of here. Wonderful. Dante, great pun. Marvin Harrison Jr. Bergen.
That's so goddamn good. I wish that was mine.
Pretty good. Kevin asks, so to follow up my question from last stream, what's the narrative on Stout now? Again, still sort of small and panicky, but my God, he's feisty. We'll see if it ever works. But
you can live with the feistiness for sure. I don't think that there's any... I wonder if we're having an argument, and this is actually a good question for Salah on Thursday. Like, is it an issue of dirty eyes, right? Where he's not seeing it and he's getting, you know, lost in the sauce or taking the cheese or whatever other stupid platitude you want to use. Or is it just kind of like a physical thing? Like, can he not?
We'll find out.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think I can deduce from the tape the answer to that. I imagine it's probably a mix of both, and maybe even they're asking that question. But like, you cannot teach the spirit, and he's going to get the full year to find out what it is he can be. And like,
it's cost them, but they've made up for it in other ways. There will be a time where it costs them too much, and they might have to make a decision. But I don't think they're going to bench him for Chase Lucas at any point.
No. And beyond that, like, let's just remember, like, this entire defense was supposed to be Upton Stouts. Everyone was supposed to be living in this, like, I don't know. Is it working? Is it not? Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes it's terrible. And he's like the only guy who this applies to. So it seems unfair. It's like, oh, he's the weak link. It's like, no, they should all be like this. They're just very lucky and good, well coached and great players. And like, I'm giving them the credit here, but like, it should all look like this. And yet he's the only one who looks like this. Like, that is unbelievable. That is such
correct.
A win.
Correct.
So
it's a shocker that better. Yeah, I'm with you. Also, there was more Luke Gifford, and there was
what the fuck was Jair that Brown.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to. It's very strange. I couldn't figure out what personnel they were running at certain times, because I was like, is Stout on the field? Are they running three safeties with Gifford?
They I'll were 12 to... and 13 personnel the entire goddamn game, and the Niners. I guess Robert was just like, we need to mix it up some way.
Goat Lord mentioned, I think we mentioned this before we started the stream, but yeah, Dieter predicted last week that it would be 16-15 with a safety.
Never wrong, just early. Never wrong.
Never wrong. Just early.
Often very early.
Exactly. Two more here. Kawachipto, Gannon seems to be a really good head coach.
Yep.
Seems solid. I would watch his press conferences, which are the most psychotic thing I've ever seen in my life. I sent it to Dieter. It's intoxicating, and I'm not usually like, I know some fans kind of love when like coaches give one word answers. They're like, yeah, every coach should be like this. And I typically find it annoying, and reporters get annoyed, understandably, because if that was my day to day,
I'd be annoyed words from you.
But like, my God, is it entertaining for the first watch to see him just go like literal deadpan one word answers, and you're like, what? Like, I don't know what's happening here. What the dynamics are.
You know that notorious Phoenix area media, you know, like some real buzzsaw over there. You got to be careful what you say.
So strange.
Kent Summers is going to get you. Kent Summers is a great columnist and all that, but it's just like, it's kind of like with the Bay. It's like, dude, like, what are you concerned about here? This is fucking filthy.
I don't know.
Come on. I'll never be able to unhear and unsee. When they did Hard Knocks, I think it was his first year. It was like, or it was the NFC West. They did the whole NFC West one.
Yes.
And he's like doing his introductory coaching meeting. And he's like, how many of you guys here drove today? All right. How many of you guys here got a ride today? How many of you guys here took the bus?
Wait, Gannon said this?
Gannon said this. This is an all-time. This
Do
is
you
an
remember
all-time
how heart. He was like dapping people up in the most uncomfortable, like energetic, weird way?
So. I cannot say what I really want to say about Jonathan Gannon, but I'll say this about him. He is one of the premier defensive minds in football. And he has, and I said this last year with this team, and I think I may even said it in year one, that it's a buttoned up operation. Yep. They seem like they know what they're trying to do. They can't always execute it. It's not perfect. Everything's going to be messy. It's professional football. The ball is weirdly shaped. But that is a buttoned-up operation. They have their books in order. And if they ever get a quarterback, I'm very worried for what that means.
I'm with you. We got one more. Nevin says Garendo's right now where Winters was this time. Next year, if he survives on the roster, he needs a full healthy camp to make the final call on him. I think that's an optimistic view of the situation. I think running backs are a little bit different where if you just don't trust him, I'm not sure you ever gain that trust, given how particular Kyle and Bobby Turner are. But
and let's also just throw this out there. Like last year, they were – desperately trying, and they were fighting two battles on this, desperately trying to get D. Winters serious snaps in season. Now, injuries stopped that from happening. The other thing that stopped that happening is Devontae Campbell crashing out after they lost to the Vikings, and the coaching staff goes and it's like, we're going to get D. Winters more snaps, and he lost his shit on them about, like, no, this is my spot. And it's like, well, actually, it's Dre Greenlaw's spot, and you're just holding it, and then, like,
right.
So, like, it's not your spot, and also, like, you suck. So how does this work? But, you know, he was a former All-Pro, and he didn't want to go gracefully, and that was his prerogative, and it doesn't look great because he didn't get another shot after that. But they wanted to give D. Winters run. I don't think it would have looked anything like this, but they wanted to give D. Winters run, and they're looking for any reason to not play Isaac Arendo right now. So it feels kind of the exact opposite. But it isn't to say that Isaac Arendo is a finished product. He is still young. There's still correct. A lot of talent there. He still, frankly, has no idea how to play the running back position. I'm not sure if being, you know, a scout team guy is going to get him to where he needs to be, but I don't know if they'll ever have to move on from him, because I don't know if a roster crunch is going to be so significant to where it's like we get to the point where Garendo right. goes. But I don't think he's entitled to squat, and I definitely don't think that they're trusting him for any future plans.
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think yeah. so. And
on that wonderful positive note.
Incredible. A World War One style football game. Go yep. read my column.
I look forward to it immensely.
I will post it. And subscribe to the Hutch Report. Thank you for all of you sickos.
Yeah.
Official sickos. Yeah. All of the above.
Thanks. This is members only. We love having you guys here. We don't have to deal with the riffraff, right? We can all say
sometimes
it now
we like the riffraff. I love
the riffraff's fun. The riffraff's fun. The members are more fun. I really enjoy it, and we're loving it. And you know, onward and upward. And I don't know. I had an outward. Oh, here's the deal. We're gonna start watching tape tomorrow. Just like I'm trying to get off the Twitter again. It's clearly a bad situation.
Yeah.
At the same time, I do like tweeting out plays. So tomorrow, if you guys are so inclined and you're hanging around a machine and you have all of your modules and controls on so that you don't have to take in the algorithm and you can just follow Jake and me, I presume Jake, but I know I will certainly be tweeting out a shit ton of plays that happen in this game for both good and bad. So looking forward to that and then talking about it on Tuesday. Thursday's a Jaguars preview, which, I mean, we've been thinking about this one for a long time, Jake.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, post-game, same time, same place, presumably
Indubitably. So, yeah, on that note, also, we'll have our little playlist for you. We're putting out a weekly playlist of what we're listening to while we're grinding tape. So if you want to listen along, listen along. If you don't.
It's going to be an interesting one. All right, we'll talk to you all on Tuesday. Looking forward to
peace.
It.
Peace.